from 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letters to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and he would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, as the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of our Lord. As we celebrated the independence of our nation this week, I reflected on a writing that was shared with me that we Presbyterians have a rich heritage in the birth of our nation. 12 of the signers, of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, were Presbyterians. The only pastor of the lot was a Presbyterian, Reverend Witherspoon. They were those who were willing to be part of the sacrifice to build a nation. I traveled there recently to Philadelphia and D.C. and Boston, the birthplaces of our nation, with my dad and brother. And we saw and reflected upon the trials and tribulations of many that were endured in founding our nation. You see, it was persecution, peril, and hardships before the independence and even after the independence that met those who were brave enough to give birth to the gift of liberty and independence of our nation. And it certainly must have been challenging at times for them to think, why are we enduring all of this peril? It was oftentimes through the bad that they endured, and God transformed our nation through His grace. It was a willingness to be obedient, their livelihoods, not only for themselves. They had a willingness to endure trials and tribulations for those to come. And you see, even today, we share the fruits of their sacrifice. Their going through hard times blessed us as a people, even to this day. In our scripture today, we hear of a trial and tribulation of a man called Naaman. A man who endured leprosy in peril, a debilitating illness during that time of our history. And it certainly must have been tempting for Naaman to wonder, why me, O Lord? As people of faith during the ancient times, it was often believed that if you were faced with some illness or persecution like a nation, then you must have brought that upon yourself. You were unholy, you were unclean, you were not right in the eyes of God. But our scripture today tells us, the writer here of 2 Kings seems to be challenging that understanding when he says to us that Naaman was a great man, as it's translated in our scripture today. Not only was he a great man, the writer says, but Naaman had been given victory from God, our scripture says, over all those that he fought in battle. So it seems that he also had God's favor. Not only that, but as our verse says here in verse 3, that the servant of his wife, the young girl from Israel, even was eager for him to be restored. You see, were he not a person of integrity, I believe she would have just kept that little thing quiet, don't you? I don't believe she would have said to her servant, to the woman that she served, you know, I know how my master can be restored. It seemed that she too had an affection for Naaman. So here in this text, we understand that this man certainly didn't deserve the lot he found. Don't we all at times go through perils and persecutions? Maybe not to the depth of Naaman's physical persecution, but maybe the trials we face are emotional, mental, spiritual, relational. We too find ourselves wondering, surely if we're honest, Lord, why is this upon me? May we, friends of faith, may we embrace this truth of our faith, and more importantly, this truth about our God. When we go through bad things, friends, it's not that God doesn't love us. When we go through bad things, sometimes in life, that's part of simply living in a broken world. We can't escape this world. This world without some trial and tribulation, whether we're a nation, an individual, or a family, we too will know trials and tribulations like the forebears of our country, like the great military leaders Naaman. The question is, who and how will we find our restoration? In our scripture today, it tells us that Naaman went to the Lord of his nation, the king of his nation. And the king did what I don't know about you all, but sometimes I do. He reached out for restoration for Naaman in the wrong direction. He thought, well, if I'm the king and I'm the most powerful person in my land, I'll send him to the most powerful person in that land, and surely he can be restored. The king wanted to fix it his way. So often, friends, when I get in trouble in my journey, when things aren't going the way I want to fix them on my terms. I want to reach out, and I often reach in the wrong direction or to the wrong substance or to the wrong event, searching deliverance. But Elisha, the prophet, reminded the king that deliverance is from our God of restoration. In the text also, we hear that the king of Israel became angry, as did Naaman when he wasn't healed when he wanted, how he wanted, and where he wanted. Sometimes we all follow through in that suit, don't we? We pray to God for our restoration. And we're eager for things to happen on our time schedule, when we want, and how we want, and where we want. You know, that was the appeal that Naaman said as he shared these words from our scripture. When he drew angry and he said to his servants, he said, couldn't this have happened back home where we have even greater rivers than this? You see, he was questioning where his restoration should happen. He was also saying, couldn't it have happened without me having to travel to this great land? He was questioning when it would happen. And also he questioned how the prophet would bring restoration. Shouldn't he come out and wave his hands and stand before me and cry out to his God as the magicians in my land do? So often, friends, God works in ways beyond our understanding. There is mystery in God's providence and care for us in this world. And sometimes we don't always receive what we think we should from God when we want it, where we want it, and how we want it. But may we never, in our trials and tribulations, may we never lose sight of the fact that God loves us as His children. And sometimes it's through the trials, the persecutions, the hardships that we face, that God uses those events to transform us more in His image and work His good. Isn't that what Paul meant when he said God indeed works for good in everything? Isn't that perhaps what our message of Scripture is saying to us here today in 2 Kings, when the king of Israel heard that the king of Aram had sent his leader to be restored? You hear the anger of the king of Israel. He saw a problem. He thought that the king of Aram was setting a trap to institute a war between the two nations again. All he saw was the peril and persecution. Do you ever feel that way? When you're in the midst of a trial? When things aren't going well in your life? So often we can't look beyond the problem. But in our text, do you see how Elisha saw it differently? The king of Israel only saw the challenge and the peril and the problem, but Elisha saw an opportunity. He said, don't tear your clothes. Don't lose hope. Send this man to me so that he may know there is a prophet in Israel, and the prophet is the one who speaks truth of God's love. And think of this with me. Had it not been for Naaman's leprosy, he would have never known the life-changing love of our Lord. He would have never traveled to Israel. He would have never come to be in the presence of God's prophet who bestowed upon him his restoration, I think, not only physically, but also spiritually and eternally. You see, friends, in this life, yes, there are going to be questions. We're going to go through challenges that, quite honestly, we don't understand. But it's sometimes those challenges that God uses, even in ways that we may not even understand until we reach the heavenly realm. I'm mindful of the co-worker of Manya that I've shared with you before, who was deeply terrified of bats. She'd been attacked by a bat once, and she prayed every night that she would never have that occurrence again. And sure enough, not long ago, she had another occurrence where she was attacked again, and she was so petrified she fell down and banged her head, and it gave her a concussion, and it went from bad to worse, and she felt so betrayed by God until she went for the x-ray and the CAT scan, and they found a tumor on her brain. They would have never discovered had she not gone through the trial, the fear, and the attack. Friends, may we trust in God when it seems the world is attacking us, when it seems that we aren't receiving what we want, when we want, and how we want it. May we have the faith to know that God is still working for us. But you know, I think there's a deeper message of this text today. The deeper message that it speaks to me is that not only is God working in the here and now, and that He is, dear church. As Mary John said today in our scripture, embrace God's Word daily. Use that as your strength to sustain you and overcome whatever you face. But the deeper message of our text today is this. When Naaman found restoration, all he did was simply washed and was clean. You see, he didn't do anything to earn it. He didn't do anything to deserve it. And our scripture says that the restoration of Naaman completely exceeded his expectations. You know why? Because our text ended by saying, not only was the leprosy conquered, but his flesh was restored to that of a young child. Even better than he could have ever imagined. You see, the deeper message of this text to me is that this is God's promise to us spiritually. When we come to our Lord in our brokenness, with our sinfulness that has separated us from God, our Lord Jesus Christ welcomes us in the power greater than the prophet Elisha, and he washes us through the blood of his sacrifice and restores us forever. And you know when it happens? It happens. We don't have to ask questions anymore. You know where it happens? We don't have to wonder anymore. You know how it happens? We don't have to raise that question, because when our restoration occurs is the moment we turn to Christ. Where does it happen? Anywhere. When we call upon the name of the Lord in our worship service, people have often asked me, you know, you don't have a time, an invitation to discipleship where people can join the church or make a profession of faith. There are benefits to worship styles that share that. But the emphasis we place is that you can turn to God anywhere, anytime. It's not about simply walking down the aisle of the church. It's simply surrendering your life to Christ. When? Where? And here's how. It's Jesus Christ. It's simply turning to Him. It's simply in surrender in the spirit of Naaman, doing nothing but being washed in Jesus Christ our Lord. May we know this day and always that the Lord's love and faithfulness is sure and certain whatever we face. And eternally, His love will never end. Let's pray. God, we are grateful today for the gift of life that is found in You. And as we bow in Your presence, if there are those today who are wondering if they are children of Your grace, if they're wondering, what do I need to do to be part of Your kingdom forever? God, may You embrace them with the peace that surpasses understanding. That all we do, God, is simply surrender our life to You whenever, wherever, for You are our sure and certain hope. May You gift us, Lord, with the reassurance today that through Your grace and for Your glory, we have life, love, and joy forever by simply trusting in Jesus as our Lord and serving in His name. We pray this in His holy name. Amen.